It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Connor Lawler. Welcome back to our week of Movie Mondays. I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime, Mr. Sean Mead. We are here today to talk about all the week's movie news, entertainment news, and just generally having a bit of a chit-chat about everything to do with film. Sean, how are you?
I'm good, Connor. It's the intro feels it's a different energy this evening.
I will admit, I messed up.
You lost track of things.
I flowed. I think I flowed okay. It was all right.
Yeah, you decided to just go with the flow, and what's the worst thing that happened? You end up drifting out to sea and die. But
until my improv partner calls me out on it, and then of course we're all now with a microscope wow, Connor fucked up.
I never called you out on anything. I said the intro felt a bit different, Connor. I never said that it was entirely your fault.
This relationship feels different, right?
This relation. This dynamic has changed.
So, Sean, this is Movie Mondays. Now, last week, of course, we had the DC fandom event, which meant we got a lot of DC trailers coming out.
Heaps.
And there was a little trailer about the Batman that I very much enjoyed. And I was thinking, they might die down on trailers for the next week or two, because, of course, we have Dune coming out. Our review of that will be coming out next week. I'm excited to see that.
I believe it's pronounced Dwan.
I think it's pronounced Dwayne.
The Rock Johnson.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is what the movie is pronounced. But, yeah, we will get to that next week. But this week, Sean, there are trailers. There are other
more trailers,
not related.
Connor.
Listen to me. Hmm. Not related to superhero movies.
Impossible. There's no other kind of movie. No other worthy kind of movie,
thinking.
I would say.
To be honest, I was caught off guard. I was like, this is a bit weird. What are these movies? But apparently, there has been, and I'm saying apparently, I know we're going to review it.
We've both done research. Like, it's all the bits.
A Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer, Sean.
Oh!
Now, this is an international trailer that came out this week. So this is about the newest Ghostbusters film, starring everyone's favourite ageless man, Paul Rudd. Along with Finn Wolfhard, and they are going to be starred in this
and
film.
Others
and others. I have the list: Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard, McKenna Grace, and Paul Rudd. I think Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, and Sigourney Weaver also all in the film.
Okay.
But I think it's cameos.
Probably not main characters.
I don't think Bill Murray's carrying the film on his back. Like, I'm not quite sure. But if you have Paul Rudd, Sean. They have Paul Rudd. Just throw him the ball.
That is all you need. Are we getting into talking about this trailer now? Because
I think we should. We can start with this one because we do have a second trailer this week, but we'll get to that later on in the week.
Of course, later on we'll do that Thursday or some shit.
We'll do it Wednesday Movie Mondays.
Oh, that's chaotic. That's a chaotic concept. I will say, just prefacing this, I have no attachment to Ghostbusters whatsoever as a franchise. It's,
your favourite Ghostbusters movie is the 2016 one.
That's, yeah, yeah, because of Chris Hemsworth, yeah. Of course.
that dancing scene. Good.
But look, this trailer looks about the same as any Ghostbusters experience for me, which I suppose is a good thing because it means it matches the tone of the originals, I suppose.
Yeah, I think we kind of fall on the in the area of like all these remakes and reboots, they're happening nonstop. But the thing is that doesn't mean that the first two don't exist, and especially actually just the first one. If we're being honest with ourselves,
purists.
If we're just being honest, it's probably just one. Two is a bit weird, but it doesn't really mean that they don't exist. That this comes out and it's good or bad. I'm assuming it will be fine.
That's the thing, and I was thinking as well that this movie, from the trailer, it doesn't look as dumb as the rest of the Ghostbusters media.
It does have Slimer's distant cousin, the Muncher, appearing in the trailer, if you're interested in that.
Is the Muncher canon in Ghostbusters, or is this a new thing?
I think it's canon.
My God.
I can't remember Muncher appearing in the 90s cartoon, but I'm assuming he was there.
Okay. Yeah, and look, that's fine, but like, I feel like there was a certain level of... Like, Ghostbusters, the first one, is just a weird fucking concept. Because they're just like exterminators who turn to ghost hunting. Like,
but they don't really like it. They're like, this is dumb.
It's just like a 9-to-5 kind of deal for them. But this one is like, it seems really grounded. Whereas the first one was balls to the wall. Just like, oh, here's a fucking sedan that we've retrofitted into a Batmobile. And
yeah, and what I did like about this trailer is that it kind of gave us a lot more context than I think we had gotten some context before and how they were going to structure this film, because I mean, it kind of came out and I was like, is it going to be a sequel? Is it going to be a prequel? Is it going not a prequel, but is it going to be related to the same universe? Is it its own thing?
Yeah.
And I think what we get from this is really that the Ghostbusters have happened in the 80s. And these kids coming in just come across their grandfather's equipment. And yeah. So they're like, oh, what's this? And they bring it to their science teacher, who is played by Paul Rudd. And he's like, I just realised this town is built off over a hell dimension, like in Buffy. Oh, no.
Yeah, and then they just release hell onto the town, it seems.
And there's a scene where they're in the car. Do you know how they come across the car?
Doesn't it come out of a... There was another trailer. I think the first trailer for this, they like open a barn and it's like under a tarp and all that kind of shit.
Oh,
so maybe
okay.
That's one of like the old guard kind of live in this town now as like a recluse. And just like that's where they find the car.
Yeah, and the town is now suddenly just riddled with ghosts. And it's up to our heroes... Who are all... They're all
children.
Sean.
Yes.
They're all children. So, I mean... Go on.
Is there not, like... A motley crew of adults willing to... Bust these ghosts? Like... Why is it... And look, not against any of the young adult actors in this. But, like...
Are you being ageist?
Maybe I am. Maybe I'm being reverse ageist. But, like... Why are they letting the kids do this?
Maybe the kids are they're the only ones who can.
But it's a hell dimension. Like, surely yeah. Others can see the ghosts.
Well, they have to learn somehow, Sean.
But like, this is
have to grow up,
but
get a job.
This is a universe, because Paul Rudd remembers the events of Ghostbusters 1. So they
and
were,
2, I assume.
And presumably 2 and 2016. But
no, not 2016.
But, like, so... That was like reported on in the news and everything like that. And so surely everyone in the world is just like, oh yeah, ghosts are real. So when they crop up in the town and these kids rock up with all the equipment needed to stop the ghosts, would they not be like, okay, here's 4 fucking police officers and they all get to go hunt ghosts now?
Well, what you're saying is there's going to be a scene in this film where someone's like, you idiot kids,
yeah.
There's no such thing as ghosts. And they're like, there is. And there's like one right behind them like doing a dance. They're like, look behind you.
And there's like a massive cover-up going on. And Paul Rudd is part of, like, yeah, Paul Rudd is like on internet message boards and has red string walls and everything like that, and so that's why he believes him. But all the other adults are sheeple, for want of a better word, Connor.
I mean, yeah, that is right up there, Alan. I think, yeah, it is a weird dichotomy of, like, if the previous versions happened, then everyone knows ghosts are real, unless, because there was a giant, like, marshmallow man attacking a city that was a ghost, so it's hard to cover that up. But at the same time, you also have to have the plot point or the conflict of the town doesn't believe that there's ghosts and these kids are the only one that can stop them and save the world.
Unless it's maybe it's a weird town and they're like, what if it's a cult town? What if there's a big cult in the town that's like, no ghosts in this town?
Oh, like they're in on it. They're all ghosts.
Oh, they sacrifice people to the ghosts.
Oh, it's Hot Fuzz, but for ghosts.
Hot Fuzz, but for ghosts.
Oh, shit.
My God.
I mean, why have they not written that, Hollywood? I mean, there's a town full of ghosts, but they're acting human. And then every time you eat, like, you go into a pub that, like, has pub grub, right? So they feed you. You eat this whole meal. And then you go for a walk, maybe outside the town. And the further you get away from the town, you realise the food wasn't real, Sean. It was all ghosts. Even the sausages were ghosts.
Have you seen The World's End by Edgar Wright, by any chance?
I have not. Why? What happens in that?
It's a town that's taken over. Well, I won't tell you. I won't tell you, God. I think you should watch it. It's very good. It's the third part of the Cornetto trilogy. It's after Hot Fuzz.
Oh, of course. No, I had seen it. I was pretending.
Oh, so I'm not spoiling it on you. Grand. So,
no.
Spoilers for The World's
You're spoiling
End.
It for
Aliens.
Everyone else.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh,
I don't,
well, I'm glad.
Connor,
fuck them.
Connor, you're my friend. The audience.
I hate them. You said
no,
to me shit.
No, I'm not negging the audience. I'm not doing it.
Didn't you say shit on my shoe in relation to them last week?
No, I said whoop-a-dee-doo when thinking about the audience.
Fist bump. Yes. I'm still trying to get Out the Wazoo going, but it was catching on a little bit.
It's catching on a little bit. There's a fucking contingent of people where Out the Wazoo is making waves.
A few listeners caught on to what I was putting down. They were picking it up, Sean.
They were.
There's love out the wazoo for out the wazoo.
Oh, it's happening. You're going to say this in, like, your actual life now and people are going to think you're insane.
Yeah. Out the what the fuck is he
doing?
This is the strangest funeral speech I've ever heard. Oh, he had fun out the wazoo. That's what does it mean? Nobody knows. So we're moving on to our next piece of news, Sean, and it involves a movie that shouldn't work, but I mean, the more things we found out about it, the more we realised it might work. And this is the movie Barbie, Sean.
Yeah, I remember having this discussion.
So this is the Barbie film that they are planning on doing. And of course, we found out that Margot Robbie will be starring in the movie. She will be playing Ken. And no,
very
I'm only
good.
It's a little gag. It was a little switcheroo.
See what he
there.
Did there, audience? He laid down a rug, made all of you stand on it, and then quickly pulled it from under you.
Out the wazoo, so I did.
Oh no.
So we have Margot Robbie in as Barbie. We also have Greta Gerwig directing the film, who, if anyone doesn't know, she's an Oscar winning director for Little Women. She's quite good. I think quite good is actually probably a lot of an understatement. She's very, very good.
Extremely good.
Oscar winner. So we've got Greta Gerwig, we've got Margot Robbie. You need to complete the set. We need a Ken shot.
Ken, James Marsden, of course.
You know what, James Marsden actually 10 years ago, he walked into this fucking role. Like,
it's the easiest role in Hollywood for him.
But they have found their Ken, and I mean, this cast is getting more and more stellar because Ryan Gosling has signed on to be Ken. So we've got Ryan Gosling, Margot Robbie, Greta Gerwig leading this project.
This is not going to be... This isn't like a kid's Barbie movie, isn't it not? Like, this is going to be...
I'm just going to ask this one question, right? So everyone knows that, like, it's a Barbie movie.
Yeah.
So everyone's kind of like, probably won't do that great. Fair enough. But a what if, Sean? A what if, not to be Marvel. It's good.
I think it might be good. Like, now, there are a couple of ways they can lean with this. Because they could do, like, the marriage story kind of route. And it's Barbie and Ken falling out, but having to keep up appearances
actually,
to sell toys.
Actually, Greta Gerwig co-wrote that script
with
her husband, who's Noah Baumbach.
So, that's one way they could go. The other way, Connor, is Todd Phillips' Joker, right? Now...
Right.
Because, and this is how I pitch most of my movies to you. Imagine the trailer.
I know. Imagine it. Okay.
Imagine it.
I'm there. Everyone close their eyes. Okay, you pitch. This is a Hollywood meeting.
Yeah, so Margot Robbie, as Barbie, the titular Barbie, goes about her day, getting ready, putting on a happy face, if you will. And then...
Living in a society.
Living in a society, amongst other things. All the while, a slowed down, sad version of Aqua's Barbie Girl is playing.
That's the only thing you can play in this trailer, isn't it?
There's no other song, surely.
Yeah.
And then, as it gets to the Life in Plastic, It's Fantastic line of the song, the smile, like... Drops in the mirror.
Yeah.
And she's just like, she's so bored with her life. Ken is just a fucking dickhead. Like, because everything's... It's like, oh, so the start of Lego Movie, where he's like, Emmett is like, oh, it's class. Every day is great and the same. Barbie has that, but she's fucking sick of it.
Right.
And so
she's not happy... And then you also have the fact that, like, Ryan Gosling's there. Is he a dickhead?
I think he's a dickhead in this. I think he needs to play it. But he's, like, he's still in the machine, basically. He's still just being Ken. He's being, like, happy starting a fucking doctor service or a mobile vet van or whatever
changes
it is.
Changes the job a lot.
The third option is that Barbie sales are declining. Because of TikTok. And so...
This might be the most logical reason. Go on.
And so they're just going to make a Barbie movie, and now they can sell dolls of Ryan Gosling and Margot Robbie, basically.
And look, you got a Graham Norton couch lined up there.
Very good. Very, very good.
It's a very good Graham Norton couch.
Limited edition DVD, including the dolls.
Oh, I mean...
Perfect.
Are you working on the merch for this film? Because...
I should be.
I think if this movie is good, this might be the most out-of-left-field good film that we've had in, like, 20 years.
Yeah.
Because everything else, if there's even, like, a whiff of, okay, it might be half-decent, that's fair enough. But we heard about this movie in, like, I don't know, 2016, 2017, and we were like, that's a terrible idea. To do a live-action Barbie movie, what are they going to do with it?
Yeah.
Now, that might be just on us, Sean. Because then Margot Robbie gets out and you're like, well, I mean, actually, that's perfect casting, but it's still going to be a bad movie, isn't it? But then Greta Gerwig gets cast and you're like, right, okay, well, she's direct. Why would she direct it, though? She's quite good at directing.
She knows her
she's
stuff.
She's really good, and Margot Robbie is really good as well. And then Ryan Gosling comes in and you're kind of like, holy shit, this might actually be decent. Or they might do some, like, weird, like, as you said, just something off the wall that nobody's expecting, that this becomes, like, the hit of the year. It's like, oh, I've seen a fucking Barbie movie. It's unreal.
I genuinely think it could, like, and then, like, is this an example of, like, what's the last toy that's been turned into a movie, I suppose?
World of Warcraft had a, but that was a game.
That was a game,
slash,
Battleship?
Oh, Battleship, yes.
Again, yeah, that did have Rihanna in it. That was at that time in cinema.
What was like that, 2011? I'm trying to think of what was the last. I think we're missing some, like, really obvious.
Lego,
like,
probably.
Well, of course, yeah, the Lego movies, yeah. But
Bionicle.
They're hard. I mean, the Lego movies are hard to compare, Sean. Because they're my fave.
They're all real good, especially the Batman one.
The Batman one is good. I think the Lego movie's better than the Batman Lego movie. But I think the Batman Lego movie is aimed specifically towards me. So I like that.
Does it go Lego movie, Batman Lego movie, and then Lego movie 2?
Yeah, I think Lego movie 2, not so much. But I think for my enjoyment, I would say Lego Batman movie's higher, but I just think as a movie, Lego movie's better.
That's fair. That's a totally fair statement, Connor.
Yeah.
You're okay to say that here.
I don't like fair statements. They're all shit. If I don't like them, nobody can like them. What do you think?
Wow. I think the Barbie movie shows promise. It's on the same level of that D&D movie that's being made. Like, that shouldn't work, but the cast is unreal.
Yeah, the cast is amazing. It just literally keeps getting better and better. Maybe they're just, like, gonna keep trying some batshit ideas that will never work and just keep casting all these really talented people.
The opposite face of this, then, is that when you have a really, like, good A-list cast, but it's the Mario movie. Like,
oh, no.
That's not... Oh, no. I'll tell you right now that movie's not gonna be good.
And we don't want it to be good, which is worse.
No, I don't want it to be good. Look, I like Charlie Day. That's fine. He can be Luigi. He can succeed.
And look,
but
Chris
everyone
Pratt,
else—he's
great as Star Lord, and he likes dinosaurs. Fair enough. Go off with yourself.
But he doesn't need to be Mario. Fuck's sake, lads. Jesus.
Also,
Christ.
Ryan Gosling apparently was the studio's first and only choice to play Ken.
That says something.
He actually turned it down originally, and the studio dragged its feet during pre-production and just remained insistent that Gosling was the only one for the role, so they didn't try anyone else out. And they just make sure, they just wanted an opening in his schedule, and when they found an opening, then they offered to him again.
See, that says that, there's a very specific character that Ken is, and that's Ryan Gosling in this.
I mean, Ryan Gosling's pretty great. And I could see him as Ken, to be fair.
Can see him as Ken. Yeah. But he's like he's like a household name leading man type thing. So it kind of makes sense.
You got like two household names and a household name director leading this weird project.
It's going to be very, very strange. But I'm looking forward to it.
My prediction for movie of the year 2023 or whatever it's going to come out. We're moving on to our next piece of news, and this is only a very small piece of news that I've thrown in specifically because it caught my eye for how weird the timing was on me seeing this news article, and that is Sons of Anarchy star Ryan Hurst really wants to play one character in the MCU, the Sentry. Now, Sean...
What?
You had the same reaction that I did, right? What? I do this show every single week. I put together these news stories every single week. There's never anything like this that catches my eye.
This is amazing.
Okay? I'm doing a bit of research for this week's show, and I come across this article, and I was like, of all the weeks, because we covered the Sentry in Hero or Zero, was it like last week?
It was 2 or 3 weeks ago. But recent enough.
But a character I had never heard about before, many people hadn't heard about before, we covered it in Hero Zero, and then it's come into my consciousness, so now I've seen this article, I'm like, I know that guy!
Yeah! Yes. And that's a really, that's a solid cast for a solid character as well.
If anyone hasn't listened to the Hero Zero, Sean, I don't want you to go through the whole thing again, because the Sentry, it's a very interesting character we covered. It's probably one of Marvel's weirdest, most unique. I don't know weird, but unique.
Unique is the word, I think.
But in terms of the Sentry, very quickly, give me a brief overview of how this character even exists.
So the Sentry was designed as being a forgotten superhero. The idea being that he had been active in the 60s and 70s and interacted with all of the major players in Marvel Comics at the time, but for some reason everyone forgot him.
And they were doing this story in the year 2000, and they just basically convinced everyone that this was a character that somebody had found the design for with Stan Lee's autograph, sign on it.
Yeah,
in their attic.
Yeah, in the real world, they were saying, like, oh no, legitimately, this character was lost. Like, he was a Stan Lee design that could have been before Fantastic Four. Like, it's history of Marvel Comics.
And now they're kind of like, oh, now we're going to bring it to you now. Like, it's 40 years in the making. He was sitting in somebody's attic. This amazing character that Stan Lee signed off on and everyone just forgot. And so then they wrote into the story that everyone in Marvel had just forgotten him. But he had been around since the 60s.
Yeah, and like there's comic panels of him in the 60s style in that run of the... If anyone hasn't read, just it's called The Century. It's like a 5-issue comic run. It's absolutely unreal. And just...
But then what happened, Sean?
Then everyone remembered him, and...
Oh no, but then what actually happened? What did they find him in an attic?
Oh no, they had made the whole thing up as a way to sell comic books. It was ridiculous. The faked a man's death. They faked a fictional man's death to sell comic books.
They said that this comic book writer from the 60s died and they found the idea in his attic. Comic book writer never existed. It was made up a dude. And they're just like, oh yeah, Stan Lee signed off on this character in 1964.
Stan Lee gave interviews where he was like, oh man, that's really... I don't remember it, but like, it's really interesting if I worked on that. I'd love to see the drawings.
Yeah, and so they had just made the whole thing up as a PR stunt, and it got massive fanfare, because everyone's kind of like, who's this character? What's the story behind him? And
this might tie into a later story that we're talking about. I'll get to it at the time, but I like the idea that just the Century is just being floated in, like, MCU conversation.
And so he was asked on Instagram, who would you like to play in terms of the superhero movie? Because every actor now is like, who would you play if you were a superhero in a movie? And they're kind of like not trying to say anything because they're like, I might get cast and make $1 million. So he said, all right, I'm asked very often, who would I like to play... if I would like to play a character from a comic book. And I would. Who? I didn't know for a while, as I was a fan of so many. But yeah, I picked the Sentry, because the guy has a troubled past, superpowers that are equal or greater to Superman and Thor combined.
Yep.
And he likes dogs. I'm putting this out there. I'd like to play the Sentry. Do your thing, Insta, is what he said. Which is so weird that this character came up like a week after we did it. I never heard anything about this character before.
But that's the genius, is that no one's heard of the Sentry. So it makes total sense.
it's a fallacy that eats itself.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever heard of him. But that's by design. Ever heard of him. Like on purpose.
Like his whole thing, like he's never going to be like main Marvel roster for a very long time. Because, and without giving away too much of the report, like, part of his deal is that for the world to be safe, people need to forget him eventually.
Yeah, but the idea is that he's also the most powerful character in Marvel.
He has the power of 10 million exploding suns.
Yeah, in terms of levels, obviously 11 million exploding suns would obviously be stronger, but it's tough to find them. 11 million is a tough number to get to.
It is. It's mad how he explodes all those suns just so we can stop crime. Stop street-level crime.
I love the idea that they like wrote 1 million in like the draft, and they're like, that's not fucking strong enough.
It's not
like,
enough, lads.
We need another 9. Like, someone's going to look at that going, yeah, I could take them. The power of that 1 million exploding suns.
But I like Ryan Hurst for that as well. Because he has the kind of... And it's not, again, he has that, like... Like he's done stuff in the past and has now moved on. He can do that look really, really well.
A hollowed look.
Hollow, yeah. Tired, I would say.
That tired look. Yeah, I think that's like such a cool idea for casting. This is only it's not even really a story. It's literally just, I seen a headline and was like, Sean would like to know.
This is Century news. This never happens.
I never get Century news. If you want to know more, just go back and listen to the Hero Zero.
I'm really proud of that episode. I hope people listen to it.
Oh, that's good. You shouldn't be. Okay, we're moving.
Yes, and...
Improv is tough when you're sad. Yes, sad. We're moving on to our next piece of news, Sean, and it is about Dwayne 2. Now, otherwise pronounced, I think, June, Dune, Dread.
Ah, of
Dread.
Course. Dune.
See, you forgot the previous joke. He gave me a look that was so confused.
I thought it was like, Black Adam for a second.
No. That movie's just been renamed Dwayne.
Dwayne. It's just
Dwayne. All caps. So Dune 2 has a... what we knew going into this was that Dune... Am I pronouncing that correctly? I don't want to embarrass myself.
Dune.
Dune.
It's an effort for us with our accents, man.
It's tough. It is. Our accents just don't bend that way. But they... We're doing the first one, of course, that's coming out this week. And what was said was that it was a part one of a two-part thing. Mm. It's like the first half of the first book. And so once that got out, everyone's kind of like, well, they're going to do a sequel, aren't they? And then Warner Media was like, we're not actually quite sure whether we're doing a sequel or not. We need to know if it makes enough money to do a sequel.
And has it made enough money?
Well, Dune 2 may have been confirmed by the Warner Media CEO, Sean.
Oh, thank God.
So, he was asked, like, are you doing a number 2? Did the first one actually hit the heights? It was an interview with Deadline, and he said, will we have a sequel to Dune? If you watch the movie and see how you see how it ends, I think you pretty much know the answer to that. So,
That's fairly confirmed.
Fairly cut and dry that we will be getting part 2 of a movie that probably should have had a part 2 anyway, but I don't think they can call it part 1 because it makes people less likely to go see the first
one. I'm hot off the tracks of, I've just seen Dune.
You've seen it. I saw it today.
I saw it a couple of hours before we recorded this. Can I say one thing about the title card of Dune?
Go on.
The intro credits roll, Warner Brothers logo, all of that. And it comes up Dune Part 1.
Does not.
It does. It does. In the theatrical cut, just says Part 1. So I don't know. Was that the fucking VFX team being like, let's just fucking make people ask for Part 2 forever?
Yeah, like, here's the thing. If we put Part 1 in this, we'll have to come back for more work next summer.
Yeah, and like, we'll talk about the actual movie next week when we fucking have both seen it. But I really, even without ever seeing the movie, I really wanted to do well because I really like those books. And I was hesitant about those books for the longest fucking time because they're a slog at the start.
But one of our patrons, Ed, kept being like, Sean, you'd like these.
Yeah.
To be fair.
And I did, Ed. I liked them very much.
Shout out to Ed.
And so I just want that to do well. And it's like, it gives a precedent for like, oh no, movies can have a real big scope and real in-depth world building. Just give it a chance.
Yeah, I think this news alone, I mean, I didn't realise about the Part 1. That kind of gives the game away. But I do think that this movie, if you're going to do this, the first half of the first book, I think you need to give it a Part 2.
Yeah.
Especially with that cast, the amount of budget that has gone into this. They're just terrified that it's not going to make enough money back. That they're like, it might be a bomb. But I don't think it will be.
No, I think the marketing for it was really good because there's a couple of trailers that are like, you know, Here's stuff ripped directly from the books that all the fans will love. But then there's other cuts that's like Jason Momoa fighting a bunch of dudes and ships and space battles. And so like you're kind
of... You got Timothy. Timothy and Zendaya.
Timothy, Zendaya, Oscar Isaac, David Dasmalchian. We love a Dasmalchian joint in this house.
And Jason Momoa. I mean, that's a pretty strong...
Like, Dave Bautista, Stellan Skarsgård.
I forgot Dave. Rebecca Ferguson's in it as well.
Fucking, the list goes on.
It's unreal.
Fucking like Josh Brolin.
Oh, I forgot Josh. Like, forgot you Josh, just man. Put these people in it and people are like, oh, they're good. I've seen them in things. Yeah. I've not seen this thing, even if you haven't read the books.
That's the thing. And like, when I saw it in the cinema, there was a bunch of people there and they were all of varying... like ages, like there were families went to see that movie, so I think it is like, and maybe that's the fact that it's a bank holiday. It's been a bank holiday weekend here in Ireland, but I think it has legs. I'm interested to see, because it opened in Ireland last Friday, I think.
Has it been out that long?
Yeah, 22nd, I think it was. But I'd be interested to see, like, box office numbers and how it's performing against older films. It's up against James Bond as well, which I know we're not big fans of, but...
Did well, though.
It did well. It did very, very well as an opening. So it'll be interesting to see how it gets on.
But I think we have confirmed Part 2 is in the works, and I think
that's
a pretty great take. So let's fucking go. Let's just keep building this world. Let's make it as mad as possible. Let's do another Star Wars. How many studios
no.
over
no,
here?
No, no, no.
Like, let's do a Star Wars.
Let's make the next Star Wars.
Guys, why didn't we just make the next Star Wars? Okay, we're going to move on to our next piece of news, Sean. And it involves Mr. Charlie Cox.
Charlton
now,
Cox.
Now, I will say that I'm actually... This caught my eye more. I'm doing a rewatch of Daredevil.
Oh!
I'm after just finishing season one. Excellent.
Tremendous season. Perfect season of TV.
I'm on episode 2 of season 2. It hasn't got off the rails yet.
It's rough.
It's not until like episode 4 it kind of goes into Elektra coming back from the dead stuff.
Remind me, is the Irish mob still in it at that point?
They have been butchered by the Punisher episode 1. And now they're coming back hot. They're coming back hot. Like they're not happy about being butchered.
Can't imagine they would be.
No. But Charlie Cox has come out this week. Now, of course, there's a lot of talk about him in regards to Spider-Man. But there's also a lot of talk, just in general, Daredevil is coming back. Some form in the MCU.
And yeah.
He has said, and I think he's kind of sick of this question by now. He doesn't really care. But he also, and I think this is probably the most level-headed way he could say it. He's like, I think people should be careful for what they wish for about the Daredevil return. And by that he means is that it might not be the same character that comes back. Because it's the, of course, Marvel now are bringing him in to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And they might not like Charlie Cox in the role. They might want someone else, first of all. They might want to write him a different way. They might want him... There could be a whole host of things. It'd be very strange for them to just get... Gonna plant you, take you from here and just plant you there, just ride with you the same way.
That's the thing, like the aura, like they might do a new art, like a new season one of Daredevil. They might have all that growth, like everything that happened in the series might be wiped, and it could just be a different version with the same actor, basically. Because there
and
was rumor-
I think he's worried, sorry to cut you off, but he's worried that him coming back in a different role might kind of. Not tarnish, but makes it less good. Season 1 and 3 less good, which are very excellent seasons.
Yeah, but I think he wants to make sure that fans are like, you can't expect the same thing in, like, you know, a PG-13 movie as you get in the Netflix series. Like,
there's no hallway scenes.
It's probably going to be no hallway scenes, but there shouldn't be, because that was fucking class.
Just do it once.
Just do it once and have it done. What I was going to say, there's been rumours that like there's a... Apparently, in the Hawkeye series, Kingpin might feature along with a character called Echo, who's another assassin, basically. And Echo might be getting their own spin-off series, and Daredevil might show up in that.
Right. So do you think that they'll ever give him the ball again and be like, we're doing another Daredevil series, we want you to get ripped, Charlie. Come back in.
I don't know, honestly. I could see him as just being a character that exists, kind of like the Hulk is, kind of like War Machine is up until Armor Wars comes out. A character that pops up in other stories and just fleshes out the world a little bit.
I have not a counterpoint, but does that kind of diminish the character by just making him like a second round? Because... That character is loved by lots of people as, like, the main character. He's the lead.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's the main guy. So then you take the chance of, well, we're going to give him to you. But we're going to give him to you as, like, he's kind of the guy that moves the plot along in Act 1. And then our real hero comes in and he's going to do the finishing things.
Maybe. I don't even think it would be that. It's just I don't think they would give him like another series right off the bat.
Yeah.
I can see him popping up like in maybe that Echo show. I can see him popping up in She-Hulk. That would make a lot of sense, just as Matt Murdock even.
He's a lawyer as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, and just have that, and then I think the most like, reasonable way to introduce him would be after No Way Home, because we haven't gotten a Spider-Man movie that's properly set in New York yet. So, it would be cool, because I think the Spider-Man in the MCU really works when he bounces off of people. That's why he gets the Tony Stark and the Doctor
Strange.
I mean,
he could still be appearing in No Way Home.
Let's not add more characters to that roster. Like,
I mean, he specifically said, I'm not in that movie.
But so did Garfield. And Garfield's definitely in it.
He's definitely in it. So how are we to know? We've been burned before, Sean.
Meanwhile, Tobey Maguire just told some people in a park that he was in it.
Yeah. And I just winked. Assume he walks around parks.
Trying to swing webs. Trying to make a big web to watch a meteor shower. And then have a Venom symbiote land 5 feet away from him. Oh, it annoys me.
What are the chances? I don't know if we've...
We've gone through this, I think. Like,
what are the chances that that Venom symbiote lands 5 feet away from the only superpowered person on Earth? Pretty bad odds.
I wouldn't take
Charlie
myself.
Cox. Yeah, he could be... Also, just give another shout out to Charlie Cox, who's suddenly become a very big fan in Ireland. Because if any of our international listeners don't know, they probably don't, but he is in an Irish drama currently called Kin, that's about like a drug family in Dublin that are like running drugs, and then there's like a big gang war and all this shit. But what's most important is you're thinking, okay, well, Charlie Cox is in it. He must be the English or the American person coming in. No. He plays an Irish person, and he does a perfect Irish accent, like, to the point of which that I was watching with my girlfriend and she didn't know that he wasn't Irish for like 5 episodes.
It's absolutely wild. Like, and I'd say he does a better Irish accent than we do.
Yeah, it's fucking mad. Like, I was watching it and he could, if he walked down the street and did that accent, nobody would think he was from anywhere else.
No.
Because like, it's so hard to do, because there's so many shit versions in all movies, we're not used to it.
To do a subtle, restrained version of, like, a Dublin accent. My God, fair play to you.
I mean, I think have you seen the trailer? You haven't seen the full thing.
I've seen the full series, but I've seen the trailer, and it's like...
I've done a double take. Like, anyone just... go on YouTube and just search Kin trailer, or just... Because it was so bad that I actually had to look up YouTube and show my family his American accent in Daredevil. And I was sitting there cocky going, he's American, lads. This is even worse. And then
you flick on Stardust.
The fucker's English.
Yeah.
He's an English boy. Bouncing around the place. He's a chameleon.
He's a really good actor. He's a really underrated good actor.
He's so good. That's just our bit on Charlie Cox. Check out his Irish accent. It's so good. Every actor who tries to do one just
pales in comparison.
Yeah, we're moving on to our next piece of news, Sean, and it involves another trailer. It's for a movie called Uncharted. It's apparently
Seth
a very big
McFarlane's gun. Ted sequel.
Uncharted.
Joke, everyone.
Now, Uncharted, of course, massive video game franchise. And for many years, everyone was kind of like, Nathan Fillion is the guy.
He's because the one.
He basically is the spitting image of Nathan Drake. So it's like, I'm pretty sure he also plays Nathan Drake in like an online short before. I think that got like rave reviews on YouTube as well. It's like a 10-minute short video that he made. But they're now doing an Uncharted film, and they have Tom Holland playing Nathan Drake, and you have Mark Wahlberg playing Sully. And so they will be starring in the movie. We got our first trailer for this. There's been a lot of pushback just in terms of delays and stuff in regards to the film. Sean, this is your first view of the Uncharted movie. What are your thoughts? Video game movies, always good.
This movie looks like shit.
What?
I really think this movie looks awful. It looks like a boring, generic action movie. That's just... I'm shocked. I don't get, like, Treasure Hunter amazing vibes from this. I get more like...
Can I just say, the first thing I thought of was National Treasure. Now, I don't want to go out there, but you have an irrational love for National Treasure 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're like a scorned ex-lover who's been given this new thing and is like, it's not as good as National Treasure.
I like mysteries and riddles with my treasure hunting movies, thank you.
How do you know there's no riddles? There could be riddles.
No, they would show a riddle. The Da Vinci Code had a trailer and that showed riddles. But
that's so stupid.
You're so stupid.
Why would the idea be like, they're making the trailer, lads, we may throw in a riddle.
Oh, I'm sorry, let's just throw in the same plane scene 4 times.
Yeah, look, I did have my main point of this trailer was, looks like an okay action movie.
It looks like an Amazon Prime original movie.
Oh, that's harsh. That is harsh.
You've
come down harsh on this.
I really dislike this trailer. And here's another thing you're not going to like, Connor. I don't think Tom Holland is right for the role.
I kind of agree, to be honest.
I think you need someone 10 years older for that.
I kind of agree. I think they came up with the idea, though, that you get a younger Nathan Drake and you get 3 movies out of it, rather than casting someone who's 35 and then getting 1. I can understand that, but I do also understand the fact of, we are massive fans of Tommy Netherlands here. He's one of our faves, right? Big fans. But I think I can understand where, if you've played the video games, you see Tom Holland, very handsome, looks great in the shirt, he's looking well when he's falling out of planes.
Maybe
you needed someone maybe a little older, a little more grizzled.
Five years.
It's also an origin.
It is also an origin, but like, I don't know. It just feels everything about it feels forced. Like it feels like because when they came up with the idea for this, Tom Holland was like 21 and off the tails of Spider-Man Homecoming, and he was the hottest thing in Hollywood, and so I feel they just picked him and were like, oh, he'll sell tickets. It wasn't, oh, you know who'd be really good for this role?
Nathan Fillion in 2010, so
yeah, it would have been ideal, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it really just
I think if you actually look up Nathan Fillion, the first thing you see is also Nathan Drake. Like,
is it really?
Like, every good, I don't know. Like a Google image, you definitely get Nathan Drake or Nathan Fillion. I don't know what number he appears.
Yeah, well, actually, one of the top results is comparing Nathan Fillion in like combat gear and blood on his face to Tom Holland in combat gear with blood on his face.
Because everyone just assumed that was going to be the cast. But I mean, fair play to Nathan Fillion. I think he came out and was like, getting a bit old. They'd probably want to make the movie now, because I don't really want to do action movies when I'm like 50, so...
That's fair. That's totally fair, Nathan. Have you seen Firefly?
I have. I haven't seen all of it, but I've seen bits of it.
He's really good in Firefly, it turns out.
Yeah, I look, charming dude. He's a very charming man.
Aaron Falloff Boy. Have you seen Castle?
No, I haven't.
Castle's fucking a ridiculous show because he's a writer, but he solves mysteries on the side.
But isn't that Joss Whedon? Joss Whedon as well.
I don't know.
That was on that run where he was taking actors from Buffy and Angel and just throwing them into different dramas. I can't really remember.
He was just taking anything that was going.
In regards to this trailer, the main thing that stood out to me was also I'm going to come down hard on this. I don't like Mark Wahlberg.
I'm
not a fan. Mostly because of things he's done in his past.
A lot of things he's done in his past.
Yeah, that's not great. But also, I watched that video with him doing his daily life, and he's like, I wake up at 3 and I work out, and then I sleep for 10 minutes and then I work out for another 5 hours. I'm like, Jesus, man.
You're just chill out. Like, you're a lot. Right. You're a lot all the time.
Do you know
Mark Wahlberg would have stopped 9/11 if he was on that plane?
Oh, come on. Would you stop? All right.
Do you know people accuse him of blinding an old Vietnamese man by punching him?
Yeah, I do know that.
His
yeah,
argument was, true. Oh, he was already blind.
Oh, for God's sake. See, we're not here to attack Mark.
No.
But we're just allowed to say we might not be fans. People love Mark. He's a likeable guy.
Some people love Transformers. Darkseid. 4. What's that one called? Transformers Revenge of the Fallen? No. Surely
not. Rise of the... Is it Rise
Dinosaurs?
Of something?
Dinosaurs? Megatron? Megatron.
I thought this would be right up your alley.
The Uncharted movie.
It's got fucking...
Not enough clues.
Like, if you point here...
Fucking do me a clue cut of the trailer. Do me a clue cut of this movie. That's fine. There's going to be one clue.
Trailer.
And it's going to be put a fucking triangle in this hole and a square in this one and a circle in this one. That's going to be
it's
the only mystery
trailer.
In this.
Okay.
No, this is shit.
I think you're going to like this
movie. It's the worst thing
ever.
I think I'm going to hate it so much.
You've turned into a YouTube comment section.
I don't know why. I'm just really unhappy with this.
I thought you'd be, at most, generally fine.
Also, there's a couple of line reads in this that are like, oh, do you want to do a second take on that? Like, they're just really awkward.
I've never seen you come down harder on a movie than this.
It should know better. It like, of all the videos...
It knows National Treasure 2 exists. Why is it trying to be it?
Brush all of that unnecessary love for those movies aside, right?
Yeah.
What they did was that the company that published the game, one of the most cinematic story-driven games, has proceeded to make a movie that looks uninspired visually and story-wise. So I don't know what the fuck to do with that information.
I think it's fine.
I think it's good to have discourse on a podcast.
This is my favourite. I've never seen you be angrier.
I've never had strong emotions about anything, really.
No, you're normally always just mild. This is very unique.
I've gone from lukewarm to tepid, guys. It's a wild ride.
I think this movie is going to be twice the movie of National Treasure, is what I would say.
Well, that's a big claim, yeah. Connor.
I mean, it's not that big. I think it looks pretty great. I think this trailer, I mean, it's got Tom Holland falling over a plane twice. So from what I get from this trailer is he falls out once and then
gets
he somehow gets back in and then gets knocked back out again.
Like, how is that? That's ridiculous. There's a joke about it. And also there's a joke at the end where a man speaks Scottish and quote unquote Nathan Drake can't understand him. But yeah. I'm just looking at Tom Holland being like, I know you're from England. Like, you're well able for this.
I love how you break the fourth wall only for this. We didn't watch the Batman trailer and you were like, I don't think Robert Pattinson could take down all those guys in the hallway. I know he couldn't.
No, but that's not Robert Pattinson, though. That's Batman. This is just Tom Holland in a suit.
Playing Nathan Drake. Nathan Drake.
I don't think he's Nathan Drake, Connor. Maybe in the course of the movie he becomes Nathan Drake. But
I think it looks very pretty. It's a very nice movie. Looks very nice. I'm sure it'll be fine. Tom Holland's a very charming young man before being viciously attacked here on the show.
We're going to make a big one day and he'll come on the show and I'll chastise him about this movie.
Just this one movie, but then you'll also have to follow it up with, I love Spider-Man. Like, I love you as Spider-Man.
That weird movie where all the men's thoughts are fucking projected in front of them. Yeah, that was great, Tom. But Uncharted.
Once again, shit. Fucking shit.
Feel bad for that.
So, I thought that was going to break the duck of bad video games to movies ratio.
No.
I'm still hoping it will. I'm not going to side with you. I think it might be fine. And we're going to finish off this week with... This started off as a rumour. And I will say, I wasn't going to finish the week with this. But what happened was, I checked on a few different websites. I checked on a few different sources. And it was multiple sources had the same rumour.
Interesting.
So at what point does a rumour become, we've all kind of got the same thing, so kind of feels like it's corroborated somehow. And that is that Marvel are currently hoping to set up a World War Hulk movie leading on from the She-Hulk series, Sean.
My God.
What does this entail? What does this mean? We hear a lot of World War Hulk. What exactly is World War Hulk, and why are we interested in it?
So to start off, there was an event called Planet Hulk, and that's where the Illuminati of Marvel, which is Iron Man, Doctor Strange, Black Bolt, Namor, Charles Xavier, and who's a sixth person?
Reed Richards.
No, sorry, I've gone blank. Who could it be? Some dickhead, I'm sure. It was Reed Richards.
He's fantastic.
They decided that the Hulk was too dangerous to keep on Earth, so they shipped him off to a planet called Sakaar, which showed up in Thor Ragnarok, and Hulk on his own.
Kind of based off World War Hulk, Ragnarok.
Planet Hulk kind of thing, yeah, that he's the gladiator and he fights his way to the top. But in Planet Hulk, he leads a rebellion with everyone, takes over, gets like a married, has a kid called Scar, Scar son of Hulk, he's in Marvel Comics as well, and then decides to go back to Earth to get revenge, because what happened was the original ship that sent him there exploded and killed his wife, and so
right.
Hulk is like, the Illuminati must have rigged that to explode. And it's their fault that she's dead. And so he goes back and he fucking destroys everyone. He takes them all on one by one. He crushes Doctor Strange's hands so he can't do his magic. He takes on all of the X-Men at once. And you know Darwin, his whole thing is that he adapts to survive.
The guy who died first in
yeah,
first
in
class.
First class. It's a fucking terrible scene. But Darwin, during that fight, like leaps in to try and help, and his mutant power activates and he teleports away, because that's the only way he could survive that.
Oh, shit. So Holy fuck.
He takes on all the X-Men. He takes on everyone. He punches the ground so hard that he causes tectonic plates to shift in the earth, and he's just getting madder and madder and madder, so he's getting stronger and stronger and stronger, to the point that they have to get Robert Reynolds, the Sentry, in, because the Sentry has a calming effect on people around him. So basically they're like, if we can calm the Hulk down, he'll be less strong, and then we can defeat him and get him to turn back into Banner. He's been the Hulk for years at this point. And so Hulk and Sentry duke it out until they both run out of energy. And then I think it's Hulk knocks out Sentry with one punch at that point, but then transforms back into Banner. And that's basically the end of it.
But, so my question after all that is, what sets him off?
I would say that it's got to be something to do with Jennifer Walters. She's like, they're trying to forcibly remove the Hulk gene from her or something like that. Like, it has to be as defense or in revenge of something, you know?
So, yeah, because it's going to be leading on from the She-Hulk series.
Yes.
So, She-Hulk is going about her life. She's being She-Hulk, and Mark Ruffalo's in that series, and then whatever happens, it leads him to basically lose the fucking plot and decide, I'm going to go and just barrel through everyone because I'm so mad, because he just gets so angry that he can't control it.
Yeah. So it could be that, like, what if he learns something? Like, he learns that the accident, because this is the thing that came up in Original Sin, is that the accident that gave him his gamma powers was Tony Stark's fault.
Oh, shit.
Tony Stark.
Isn't that like the plot of Civil War? Like, Bucky finds out. Or no, Tony finds out that Bucky does it. That sets him off. We could do this whole thing.
So just loop it back around. So like maybe it's something from his past. Like, I don't know. Oh, what if?
Oh, here we go. What if?
You bring Marvel's What If. You bring back Liv Tyler as Betty Ross.
Oh, okay.
And have something happen to her at the hands of maybe not a hero or I don't know.
Oh, the X-Men?
Maybe Reed the X-Men. Richards. Reed Richards. No, bastard Reed Richards. I think, right, that General Ross is going to have like a shot at the Hulk and he's going to be able to take him out, but Betty Ross stands in front of the bullet.
Oh shit.
So now he's against the military, which would then cause the Avengers,
everyone to come in.
Yeah, everyone comes in. It's like, no, like we can't stop the Hulk on our own, we need everyone.
Fuck. And so do you think, I mean, this movie is unique because is it technically a single Hulk movie? And by that I mean, that means Universal have the rights to it. So I don't think they'll do just a Universal Incredible Hulk film. So if they throw everybody in and make Hulk one of the characters rather than the main character, it's not a Hulk movie, it's a gathering of everyone.
Yeah.
You could just call it like bypass that.
You could, like, you could call it Avengers versus Hulk for all the world. You know, like, it doesn't have to be called, I don't know what the extent of the Universal deal is, whether Hulk can be used in a title or anything like that for a movie.
I'm not quite sure myself. As far as I know, they have the rights to an individual film. So, like, they produced the Incredible Hulk and distributed 2003's, or Ang Lee's Hulk.
Yeah.
So Marvel don't have the full rights to that, I think. Now, that might have changed, because Spider-Man, of course, was kind of changed up as well. They might have bought back the rights in the revealing years, but that was the original deal, as far as I know.
Yeah. And look, it could change in the next year or so. It just means it's a project they might be working on. Which, when you have more Hulk characters in there, always good.
Do you think people want to see this movie where Hulk barrels through people? Because people like the Hulk, and he doesn't come across that well if he's going around killing people, our heroes.
That's true, but also he's been too friendly for too long, I think. You need to get the dangerous side of him back in. Kind of like in The Incredible Hulk. Like, fair enough, he stopped Abomination, who's also showing up in She-Hulk, by the way. Stopped Abomination, but he destroyed like half of Harlem in the process. Like, he needs to be like a dog on a leash kind of a thing. There was, in like 2010, Guillermo del Toro was meant to do a Hulk TV series, but it was going to be like a horror TV series of, like, you know, Bruce Banner changes into this creature and causes havoc. So if they lean like into that side of the Hulk, which was a recent comic run called Immortal Hulk, he was just treated as a monster. And it's one of the most successful Hulk runs they've ever had.
I mean, it's Jekyll and Hyde.
It's Jekyll and Hyde.
Version.
Exactly. And
I think actually something that Avengers, the first one, does really well is that first time he turns in the stairwell. And that, like, you have Scarlett Johansson or Black Widow, and she's like, calm down, it's fine. And the ship gets exploded, and, like, he falls, and, like, Hulk recognizes you're in danger, and, like, wants to come out. And she's, like, trying to calm him down. I just remember watching that going, like, and it is kind of it's PG-13, so it's not a horror element, but there is, like, tension, like, don't turn, oh, fuck, he's turned, get the fuck out of here.
It's one of the reasons I really like The Incredible Hulk, is that bit in the factory at the start, because he turns, but you just see movement in the shadows, and people getting thrown left and right and ripped apart. Like, he's genuinely scary.
Yeah, and look, I think it might be pretty cool. It's a fucking out there idea to even try Planet or World War Hulk. Like, that is an all-encompassing worldwide thing. That's not just a movie that you throw together. you got to get a lot of actors involved if you're going to pull this off.
Yeah, no, you need a team. Ideally, you need the X-Men. Like,
they just introduced them and then they just butchered them.
Just butchered all them to death. Maybe. Or they just get very badly hurt, all of them.
All of them maimed. Charles Xavier starts the fight, no wheelchair. Starts the fight, thinks he's savvy.
Is that how it happens in the MCU?
That's how it happens in the MCU. The Hulk just maims the man.
My God.
So, Sean, I think that's it for this week's Movie Mondays.
What a week. A lot of meaty topics this week, Connor.
Yeah, just having the chats about movies, Sean.
It's fun. We like to do it every week here. So, will I take us out, Connor?
Yeah, please.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Movie Mondays. We'll be back Wednesday with Weird News Wednesday, Friday with Hero or Zero, next Monday with another episode of Movie Mondays. Big thanks to everyone who supports us over on Patreon. Big shout-outs go to the new unofficial Wizard of Christchurch, Aotearoa, New Zealand, Waffles the Magic. I was in Christchurch the other day, actually.
Were you?
Yeah, in Dublin. Thanks also to Kira Lawler, David Clark, Ed Ball, Joe Burney, Roisin Trodoshin Halley, Ryan Right Time Evanson, Sean Heroes Don't Do That Jameson, Dominic, Josiah Florida Gal Green, Anna Team Irish Walrus Helmroos, Lil Dicky, one of the braver counsellors, after a day of being creeped out, ask the boys their names. McGrew, I feel we're coming to the climax of this story.
Oh my God.
Thanks also to Danny McLaughlin, Ray, I Can't Believe Wanda Did This, and Sammy DeLucia. Really appreciate you guys. Thanks for all of the support that you give to the show. You really help us out every month. So if you want to join those fine people, head on over to the Patreon. Other ways to support the show, we have a merch store link below. You can get t-shirts and hoodies coming into winter in the Northern Hemisphere. So you might want to get some hoodies. Southern Hemisphere, I'm pretty sure there's t-shirts as well. So fucking go for it, lads.
There's one or two.
One or two t-shirts.
Yeah.
We're also on Twitter at Heroes for Hire Pod. The 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Divilment's Discussion Group or Heroes for Hire Podcast, whichever one you prefer. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast, or you can email us heroesforhire_@outlook.com. But I think that's about it, Connor. And the best way that anyone can help out the show is what?
Patreon, yeah. Twitter followers.
Without any of that, Connor. Forget all of that. Yeah.
Go on.
What? You can just tell how many human being?
One human being.
That we exist.
Yes.
And I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so.
Oh, my brain turned to yogurt at the end there. I'm really sorry.
So I've been Connor Lawler.
I've been Sean Bean.
And we shall see you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.